You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 24. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week, we talked to Tiffany Broadbent-Becker, the web developer and social media coordinator at the College of William & Mary. This episode is a long one, and we touch on a lot of topics. Some of those include living near character actors, sharing social media responsibilities with a team, and just how stressful monitoring social media can be. We also talk about orientation, Hogwarts, and all the stuff about WWDC that you probably already know. And then Jackie downloads an app, and it all goes downhill. I mean, she downloads it.
Yeah, I did. I downloaded an amazing app that you're going to hear about on the podcast today. You're going to go ahead and download it because it's a great app, makes noises. You're welcome, listeners. And Logan, it's only a matter of time before you download the app too. But what we're really excited about is this coming week, along with our regular scheduled programming, we'll be including a bonus episode because I'll be heading to Higher Ed Web New York in Ithaca, and we're going to be having a small little bonus episode with some coverage, so be on the lookout for that one. We hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social. Yeah. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Oberon. Ooh. From Michigan.
Ah.
From Bell's Brewery.
A brewery I've never heard of. We should probably start asking our guests what they're drinking.
Oh.
I haven't done that before.
Can I like have a whole roster?
Yeah. Go ahead and rate it. How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 5?
I would rate it a 4.5.
Well done. All right.
Every year it tastes a little bit different, but it's a sign of summer. As soon as you see it in the store, it means that summer is here.
Ooh.
Yes, I am out of stuff.
What? Logan's out of alcohol?
All of the stuff?
Everything.
Yes.
I actually have nothing also.
Actually, I have a little bit of Evan Williams Honey Reserve.
Hmm.
Plain?
Make a hot tea?
Yeah, like chug it out of the bottle? I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea.
Yeah, I have some homemade vanilla vodka. That's not gonna work tonight.
Homemade vanilla vodka.
Yeah, a Christmas present. I do have very expensive wine, but I'm not gonna touch that because that is for
our show is not worth a special occasion.
Nope.
It's a pretty fun show, but not worth a good bottle of wine.
I have come across some really good boxed wines actually that aren't sketchy. Like we have there's an 89-point rosé that comes in a box, and now I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but there's actually one that exists, and then there's a white wine, that same thing, it's like $30 for a bottle, or for a box of it, but it's 3 or 4 bottles in a box.
Oh.
And
this is Higher Ed Social, I have to use a coffee mug for this.
Keeping it classy here.
So I'm going to mix this with sweet tea, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, this is happening.
I think that would work.
Higher Ed Social bartending. I think this is the most we've talked about alcohol on the show, which is weird.
Oh, we haven't even introduced
that's
the
what I'll be
yet.
Known for.
I know. I'm
welcome
sure all of our
to
listeners
the show.
Turn this off. Yeah.
Thanks.
Welcome. So yeah, while Logan makes his weirdo cocktail in a coffee mug, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Tiffany Broadbent-Becker. I am a web developer and the social media coordinator for the College of William & Mary down in Williamsburg, Virginia. So, yes, that is where Colonial Williamsburg is. We are right next door.
This is good.
Care to share with the class, Logan?
It's Evan Williams Honey Reserve with sweet tea from Blue Coast Burrito. So, in a
I mean, everything
mug.
Goes in sweet tea.
Just about. We'll call this a higher ed Long Island iced whiskey.
No, you'll call it the Williamsburg.
There you go.
The Williamsburg.
So I guess I have to ask all the strange Williamsburg, Virginia questions because I was there as a small child.
Absolutely.
Do you like constantly randomly run into people in period clothing or like randomly step in like horse poop? Like that's what I'm picturing your experience to be because you're so close to Williamsburg. I'm sure that's very, very wrong.
Actually, it's very, very right.
What?
We have, amongst my friends, we've joked that we need to make a Colonials in the Real World calendar because there are people that show up at the grocery store waiting in line for a burrito that are in full period costume just getting their lunch or picking up something at the meat counter or mowing their lawn. We have a bunch of people in our neighborhood that work in CW, and when they come home, instead of changing out of their period attire, they do housework.
That doesn't work because they're ruining the fun because they're not supposed to know about
it's hilarious.
Oh my God.
There's a guy that rides a scooter, and so he's got like, he wears like a white jacket with tails, and so the tails are like flying and flapping in the air as he's scooting around Colonial Williamsburg, and
that is fantastic.
All the tourists must just shield their eyes.
I would buy that calendar if you need it, just for the record, because that would be hilarious.
Duly noted. There are lots of like attempts at covert photography that are on my phone, and most of them end up being pretty blurry, but I think people would probably just be like, sure, take a photo of me. Yeah. People have been doing it all day.
Yeah, right. Well, those, I do remember distinctly from my experience in Colonial Williamsburg how much the actors played into the whole, like, we're from this period. Like, what is this technology? Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, the only thing that really sticks out to me.
It's magic, witch.
Is my father was wearing. Yeah, my father was wearing a Buffalo Bills hat, and every single person, like, made a comment about how, like, what is that? Like, da da da. And I just, even as a small child, I was like, all right, we're good. Like, that was fun, but. Wow, I can't believe that I was right about your experience.
You should have just pointed at them and said, this is your legacy. You drove them to extinction.
You did this. You know why. I am from the future.
They do try and actually cater to kids now and have this whole spy quest thing where you use your smartphone and you check in places and find clues and have to like piece together digital puzzles and help catch the thief or the spy or whatever that's going around. So
that kind of bums me out.
They're making some motions toward the modern era.
That's kind of weird. I'm kind of bummed. I mean, I get it, like in terms of a PR move and like, you know, keeping your guests happy, but like, aw, they're supposed to be like, what is this contraption? I can't take it. Selfie? What?
Some of the main actors do have this microphones.
Metal.
Yeah, what is this? Wow. Well, so are you from Williamsburg, or did you move there specifically to work for William and Mary?
I moved here to go to grad school here. So I grew up in Northern Virginia, like 90% of William and Mary's, or not 90%, a large portion of William and Mary's students. Mm-hmm. Went to undergraduate at University of Richmond, and then went to graduate school at William and Mary, and then interned in the office that eventually became the office I'm working for now.
And so you were there for the transition?
Somewhat. And so I was there for the 2 years I was getting my grad school degree, and then went off and worked for a couple startups for a little bit. But then it was 2010 and everybody ran out of money. And so I came back to William & Mary and be like, hey, so you liked me when I was an intern. Yeah. Is there anything available now?
I'm back.
And it worked out that they were getting a position open. So interviewed for that, and everything is history from there.
Wow,
so.
Very magical. Cool.
Getting the social media job at William & Mary is a great accomplishment, especially coming in. I was your intern. Please hire me. And they said, okay, awesome, sure. And you've done a great job with their social media accounts.
Thanks.
It's awesome. Great stuff.
Yeah.
And that, it actually wasn't what I started out doing. I got hired as a web developer and just had kind of cursory interest personally in social media. I was like, like February 2007, I signed up for Twitter. So I have like one of the, you know, 6-digit ID numbers or whatever. But I used my AOL Instant Messenger username because I was like, that's what this is, right? It's just like a different form of Instant Messenger. And so I shudder to look at the first couple of tweets that I have because I'm using like at home, at work, because I had no clue what it was supposed to be. So I just used it as my away message. And yeah, not so much what that's really for, but so I had a lot of interest in it, and I'm wearing my Foursquare t-shirt.
Yeah, I was going to comment on your Foursquare t-shirt. Well played.
But yeah, lots of social media interest beforehand, and so
I actually had a discussion. There were other folks that were doing it today.
You had a discussion about Foursquare.
Yeah,
I wish it didn't wasn't going away.
Tell me more about your discussion about Foursquare. I haven't touched Foursquare in a very long time.
Essentially, it's jumped the shark.
I think I would agree. I want it to merge back to be one app instead
of two. It's too late now. It's too late now.
It's never coming back.
It's not.
I still use it, though.
I haven't used it
in a while, to be honest. I mean, I go and look at it from the university account perspective, but mm-hmm. as far as me checking into things, I mean, I will, I think the closest thing I come to checking in now is location tagging my photos in Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to hit the Foursquare button and then it stopped working because I had to reconnect my account and I just never did.
Right.
Because Swarm annoys me.
But I was going to ask, to get back on topic that we were talking about earlier, is your opinion on your ability to use social media at William & Mary because you went there versus how you think you would do like at a new campus.
And I think I sort of do okay because I'm a graduate school alum, but not an undergraduate alum. And my husband is an undergraduate alum and emphasizes to me that they're very, very different experiences. I never lived on campus and experienced all of the on-campus things. So some of that I don't quite connect with as well, but I definitely, you know, the kind of stereotypical William & Mary student is in the library all the time and studying and all that kind of thing. And so, and I was that kind of person in grad school too. So I can sympathize with that part, but probably at least half of our office are alums of the undergrad. So, and everybody that does some kind of social media is an alum of some variety or other. So sort of have some insight into that. I run the Facebook and Instagram accounts on a day-to-day basis. Someone who was an undergraduate alum runs the Twitter account. So I think she has even more insight than I do, but I think a lot of it's just trying to capture the kind of quirkiness that William & Mary has, or that we portray that we have.
That's interesting that you split social media responsibility in that way. Who is, I guess, what is the title of the other social media manager?
She's web content manager, I think. I think for all of us, it's not our full-time position by any means.
Right.
It's, you know, 15 to 35% of what we do. But it started out as we had a social media team of 4 or 5 people right when I started. And we passed around who was in charge of each account every week. And so it was, you're in charge of Facebook this week, you're in charge of Twitter. And then it would all rotate. And then it just started settling in. That's like, okay, well, I don't really want to do Facebook. You do better with Facebook, so why don't you just keep it? And it sort of settled out to, okay, well, I'll keep Facebook, and okay, well, she'll keep Twitter. And, you know, we started the Instagram account in one of those meetings. It's like, what is this Instagram? Oh, sure, let's try it out.
What are these darn kids doing on the Instagrams?
On the interwebs.
On the interwebs. Very cool. That's an interesting way. I've never heard of an institution or even a department really sharing responsibility in that kind of way. That's really interesting. Do you
share responsibility, but not for specific accounts. We create a content calendar and people kind of contribute what they're going to post, and then we schedule that. At least not, we don't necessarily schedule the post on Sprout Social or Facebook or whatever, but we say, okay, April, you're going to post in the morning, Logan, you're going to post in the afternoon, that kind of thing, as far as posts go. But I mean, primarily, for instance, I do Instagram, but that's just because I'm more out and about and that kind of thing. So it's, we do it differently, but, I find it interesting that you guys passed it around. That had to be.
It was a little weird. And it was also sort of early on. That was in like 2011, I think, that we were still doing the passing around. So it was just like, what is, you know, the social media, I guess we should do it.
Yeah.
Sure. But
everyone else,
no
is
one really,
it.
Yeah. No one really wanted to do it because they were kind of intimidated by it. And so it's just sort of like, okay, well, fine. Because I mean, I got intimidated by it. I swear it was my first or second post that I ever made as William & Mary. I used an apostrophe wrong. I used like IT apostrophe S instead of ITS. And I can't find the post anymore. I don't remember which one it was, but I swear it was about like William and Mary students are curing cancer. And then the entire comment thread was, I can't believe such a prestigious institution at William and Mary would make such an egregious grammatical error. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm never posting again.
You should get fired immediately.
Well, I make that mistake from time to time too. And when someone comes back and says something, I of course fix it. If it's on Facebook or something, I fix the edit. And I say, thanks so much for pointing that out. Sometimes we get incredibly excited about the, you know, news and stuff that are happening. And that's actually true. I get excited when I want to post something. And that's usually when I make a grammatical error of one sort or another. It's usually about something fun or something interesting when I make the boo-boo. But usually people are like, oh, it's okay. We just like pointing it out. And I'm like, I know. Mm-hmm. And you should, because when we make a mistake like that, we need to fix it.
Yep, and now I am incredibly aware of when to appropriately use an apostrophe.
Well, the other thing, too, is you can always say, you know, well, at least we taught our students, right?
Yep.
At least you're catching it. Yeah, well, people, I've done worse, that's for sure. I'm sure people have, listening to this podcast, have probably done much worse with even their own social media accounts or college social media accounts. So I think that a wrong apostrophe, I don't think is very high on the scale. So you have nothing to worry about there.
No, but sure. I just remember that as sort of an ingrained thing. So now whenever I do any post, it's always run by at least one other person. Just, can you read this just to make sure it sounds okay?
Yep. Oh, yes.
And those of you that follow us on Twitter have usually seen me do my monthly complete screw up where I post to the wrong account.
Yeah. There was like a week where my phone would just not stop exploding because I guess Logan, I don't even know what happened, spelled something wrong and then tried to delete it and then reposted it wrong, and it was just messy. It was very messy.
It's called tweeting from your iPhone.
That will do it. Was it tweeting from the wrong account?
No, I tweeted from the correct account. Except the problem was, is like, oh, I misspelled something. So I copied it and fixed it and then posted it and then realized, oh crap, there's another one. Like another grammatical error. I've like forgot a word. And then so I copied it again and then I pasted it and then I posted it thinking that I fixed it, but I didn't because I hit send too fast. So then I had to delete it again and then repost it. And this, all of this, keep in mind, happened in the matter of like a minute and
seconds.
A half.
But of course people jump in and they see it and they're like, what? Like they want to get in on it.
And then I made some joke at the end that I was, you know, I can't work the Twitters today.
That's a good way to just end the conversation.
Yep, that's how I wondered. I said, Logan obviously can't work the Twitters today.
The Twitters.
Yeah, I've always wondered how fast people on Instagram see comments, because I'll comment and then go, oh, shoot, I spelled something wrong, or that's way too many exclamation points to be an institution or whatever, and I'll delete it and then repost something. It's like, oh, they're still going to see that I posted three times on their account, even though only one's left.
Well, sometimes I'll, like, post a photo, and before it's even done, like, apparently uploading to Instagram, I already have like a like on it, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, hold on, back up, guys, like, give it a second. It's so strange. I really do wish, though, thinking about that you could edit tweets. I don't think you can edit them, right?
Mm-mm.
Very strange.
There was only deleting.
So weird.
And then reposting and deleting and reposting.
Right, exactly. Well, now Twitter has this new like quote thing that I'm trying to master, and like I like it. I like the format, but I never know now, like, how I want to respond to stuff. Like, do I quote it and then respond, or just respond, or, like, retweet? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And I wish the Twitter client, I use Tweetbot for everything, so it's an iOS one, but it doesn't quite have all of the features of that retweet thing yet, so I have to open it in my browser and then retweet it and then comment, and that feels kind of complicated.
Do you find yourself, in terms of Twitter, when it comes to William and Mary, are you doing, I always like to ask people about their Twitter strategy for their institution, so are you very conversational on Twitter, or are you more kind of like a messenger?
I think it's more conversational. If someone mentions us in a conversational way, If it's like, I just visited William and Mary and it was great, because we love seeing those, we'll be like, we're so glad that you came by. Our admissions folks give a great tour. Just something to kind of acknowledge that they did mention us.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, if there's something, you know, a news article or something that's going out that people are just mentioning us, or even just using William and Mary and not mentioning us, we won't necessarily reply.
Yeah.
It just depends. But, I mean, if it's really awesome, then yeah.
Yeah.
Same goes for us. If it's like a really awesome like post, like one of our professors winning an award, or, you know, we hosted a debate last night for the mayoral, you know, race, you know, something like that, you know, I'll retweet local media and things like that. If USA Today College posts something awesome about us, I'll retweet that. But, yeah, most of the time I'm responding to happy posts and, you know, not so happy posts. People do still, oddly enough, seem really surprised when we, you know, they complain and we respond back and say, you know, how can we fix this for you? And we really try to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do the same thing, especially on Instagram, too, that people get super excited when we reply to them. Again, usually it's a lot of people tagging William and Mary from visiting. But when we had admission decisions go out, we have the hashtag WM20, gosh, what, 19?
19, it's terrifying.
God. 2020 next year, that's... Okay. But yeah, so that's at the end of their emails. And so they'll start using that hashtag as soon as their early decisions go out in December. And so my Jesse, that runs the Twitter account, and myself just sit for that entire evening and watch Instagram and Twitter and just keep track of the hashtag and any mentions and stuff. And when people are like, oh my God, I got in, we make a point to personally respond, or William and Merrily respond to every single person saying, congratulations, welcome to the tribe. And students will get so excited about, oh my gosh, William and Mary said hi to me. And so there's like this little bit of hope that, well, if they got into us and one other school, that maybe the fact that we talked to them a little bit might be sort of the tipping point that maybe they'll decide to come to William & Mary.
Yeah, you never know. But you never know what does it.
Well, that's like, where's the ROI?
Well, it's so special, though. It's and, like, some people are like, whatever, but others are so pumped about it. They're not expecting it. They don't think you're going to look. Like, it's it's so cool.
That's what I love. I think it's really important to put it in terms of ROI, but I also think it is more important to put it in terms of, you know what? That's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just an awesome thing to do, you know? And our hashtag, we're not as cool as you guys with such an easy way to do it. Ours is accepted to Belmont with a number 2. It's kind of long, but when you consider the number of schools that claim the BU, it makes it really hard. We don't just want to acknowledge freshmen, because we have a lot of transfers, too. And transfers are important. I don't care what anybody says.
They really
transfers are important, and we believe transfers are important at Belmont. We welcome them into our family just as if they were a, you know, freshman, or at least we'd like to, on the Twitters and stuff. So they get their own Facebook group. So we do 2 Facebook groups a year, one for transfers and one for freshmen. And, of course, the transfers go and join, you know, whatever class they're going to be later on, and we let them in there, too.
Yeah. So they can. That's one thing I never thought about. I mean, coming from a community college, we never had class of groups, because community college students are there for a year, they're there for a semester, they're there for 2 years, they're there for 3 years. They start, they leave, they come back, like, no way are we doing class ofs. And so that was a big challenge of, you know, how are we welcoming students that are all the way from, I'm literally just taking one class because I want to get it out of the way, all the way to I'm earning my degree here. But that's interesting to think about that in the transfer setting of, you know, I kind of joke, Logan, or kind of laugh, but you said, like, we welcome them into our family. We give them their own Facebook group. Like, we segregate them from everybody else. And, like, it's great that they're in their own community. But I guess the bigger question is, how do you basically welcome transfer students and make them comfortable with each other, but then integrate that small community into the larger Belmont community? started.
Well, they didn't. Transfer students do, like I said, join the Facebook groups for the other things without us prompting them to. Mm. But why do we give them their own Facebook page? Because they have unique experiences that they like to share with each other. At least that's the way we think they do. And they don't necessarily know what year they're going to graduate. So that's another thing. And number three, I guess, is that they're looking for roommates. They're looking for folks just to say, why did you choose Belmont? That kind of stuff. And to just dump them into the class of groups is going to be really hard because we don't know what class group to invite them to. That's number one. Right. And number two, I don't know. We want them to have a level of camaraderie with each other. You know, we're coming to Belmont together, you know, that kind
of thing. Oh, yeah. No, I think it's important for them to meet each other as transfer students because of those similar experiences. But at the same time, not exclusively kind of force them only into building a community with each other. Not force them. I guess that's a bad word, but, you know, exclusively give them access to only a group of transfer students, which is still obviously a good opportunity for them, but... when you think of the bigger picture, you know, how to welcome them as transfer students, identify them as transfer students, but also identify them just as a Belmont student or a William & Mary student.
Well, what's the interesting thing is that we don't have a group just for Belmont students, which is, I guess, a thing. The other thing, too, is that, I don't know, to dump them into just the class of 2019 group, I think is a little unfair to them because a lot of them are in a level of maturity that the freshmen aren't. The freshmen are like, oh my gosh, I just had prom. Did you guys have prom?
True. And then that's what's terrifying about
for a 20-year-old coming into that, they're going to look at it and go, yeah, 3 years ago.
That's true.
But yeah, like I said, if a transfer tries to join the 2019 group, not going to stop them.
Right. Yeah. And I think it will even marry that they get introduced to whatever their appropriate class group is that was, you know, class of 2018 or 17 or whatever class they're actually coming in as. But they, you know, they have, it's transfer orientation and stuff like that. All the transfers are put together in one group. And then they're, everybody else is sectioned out by dorm, I think, is what the orientation groups end up being. But all the folks that I've talked to that are transfer students say, yeah, most of my friends are transfer students and things like that. So it is really difficult to try and get everybody to intermingle.
Yeah, that is true. And I mean, it's great that it's a community of people, especially when you're coming in as not only a new student, but like the new kid almost, even a mid-year transfer. You know, people already have established friendships and things like that. So whatever schools can do to ease that transition, obviously the better. And having those groups, and that's awesome that you guys have orientation too for those students.
We do as well, but it's not quite as long. And it's like, the first, our first orientation session, I know is a transfer one. I think we have others too, but I know we have at least one in the summer and one in the spring, for fall and spring.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Do you do orientation right before classes start, or is it sometime in the middle of the summer?
Well, for fall, it's in the summer, and for spring, it's like literally right before school starts.
Right.
A couple days before, because you know the break's only like 2 weeks long. 3 weeks long.
Yeah. Yeah, William & Mary, they come essentially the week before classes start. Everybody comes. So all transfers, all first-year students, all everybody. And it's just like massive influx onto campus. But I think it makes a lot of sense, at least to me, that parents and families don't have to drive all the way out or fly out twice to bring their student out and then send them back out again.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of schools that do that, and I'm sure they have good reasons for it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we offer an orientation session for those that weren't able to come to summer orientation at the beginning of the fall semester during Welcome Week. So we call it academic orientation. So it allows them to get the quick spiel about registration, you know, how to register for classes, you know, how to find the classes you're looking for, who your advisor is, that kind of fun stuff.
Right.
Or at least who the advising team is, and they'll help you, and then you'll get your advisor once school starts.
Mm-hmm. This is such a off-seasonal conversation. We just had commencement, and we're talking about orientation for students.
But see, that's the thing, is that orientation starts for us next week, or the week after next.
I know, that's true. It's so quick.
We had commencement a month ago. It's been a month.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So,
it's, 3 weeks rest.
Classes, summer session classes, on-campus classes, not necessarily Maymaster, started in June. I mean, June 1st, which was, what, yesterday?
Yep.
So, yeah. The school year never really ends for those of us who aren't students.
No. It never ends, ever, basically.
10-month contract professors.
That is true. Oh, go ahead.
It's kind of entertaining because our office is creative services is technically what it's dubbed, but I always usually end up saying that it's the marketing and communications team because most folks are like, creative services? I don't understand all of those words. I understand the words, but I don't know what they mean together. Not even folks on campus completely understand when I say, they're like, oh, so where is that?
Well, creative services for us is our print design team.
Yeah, and so that's half of our team. We have 13, I think, people, and half of them are print and web designers, and then the other half are web content / technical people. And so we sort of get the preview of what the designers are working on, so they're all working on orientation stuff now, so it's like, okay, orientation's coming soon.
It's within at least
2 months, so I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing technical side is ready for that. And, you know, they were doing commencement stuff back in January, and... So at least you get a little bit of a preview.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a really cool way to collaborate too. Just that's really a codependent relationship. So that's really, really neat. That's awesome. That's a cool setup. I always think creative services is the way to go. That's always a discussion in higher education too, is like, where do the web people go? Where do the content managers go? And like, just creative services. Everyone go be creative. Go do things. Go collaborate.
Our web and creative services folks are in the same office. I mean, they're in the same big space. I'm not with the web folks or the print folks. I'm downstairs in the dungeon.
Alone. Exiled.
Yeah, actually, I am kind of alone. I'm down in a hallway past everyone else. So it's me and my boss have offices, and then everyone else is in a kind of a cube, like open creative situation. But that kind of works out for me because I do video editing, and as much as headphones are great, you know, noise-canceling headphones, I've learned, don't give you the actual sound of things through speakers, so it's really good to have speakers and let them play my music as loud as I want, which is nice. Plus, I hate being confined by things on my ears.
Yeah. Well, Tiffany's rocking them right now.
I am. I totally geeked out when I found out I was going to be on the podcast. I went to the media center, got a USB microphone,
wow,
and then got like the Bose headphones from the house. And so I was like, oh, I got to make sure that this is all set up right. And
you're gonna sound. You actually sound better than I will.
Well, I was gonna say probably me and Logan both will. Yeah, I was gonna say I'm rocking like the Apple iPhone headphones right now.
Well, that was my original plan, but then my husband listens to millions of podcasts, and he's like, no, you have to sound really good for this. It's like, okay, well, kids, make good use of your media library and your media center at your library.
Well, you can apologize to him a little bit. You actually kind of were a little fuzzy there for a moment.
No.
Yeah, but that's due to the internet connection.
I blame the interweb.
Don't worry. You've listened to the podcast. We have had worse connections, that is for sure, on all ends.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm waiting for it to be me because
mine is always perfectly clear. It's like I'm recording it.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, it's like Logan's the sound guy.
I'm not really sound guy. I don't claim to be the sound guy. I work at a university that offers an engineering degree in audio engineering, and when I say engineering degree, it's fully accredited by the engineering folks. So I make no claim to being good at this at all. Yep.
I was listening to a podcast recently about how to podcast because I thought it was interesting.
A podcast.
Yeah, I got through half an episode and I really couldn't keep listening. I don't know what it was, but I was like insta bored. I don't know why. And I don't say like I was bored because it's like, oh, I'm a know-it-all. Like I already do a podcast. I already know this. It's just like the material was so dry. I was just like, I can't get through this. And I don't want to learn how to podcast from someone who won't keep my attention on their own podcast. so I gave up.
That is what you should do. So you have a lot of books behind you.
I do.
And we say that them are not because mine. Our, you know, listeners can actually not see that at all.
Yes. Use your imagination, listeners.
Vast expanses of white bookshelves covered with multiple colors of hardback and softback books.
So is there but do you have a favorite book? Are there any of your books out there that are your favorite? Or favorite series of books?
I mean, Harry Potter ends up ranking pretty high up there for me as
well done.
Ones that I have read multiple times voluntarily. Almost got to take a class in it. There was like a children's lit class in my undergrad that they got to read and then analyze the first Harry Potter book, I think. And it's like, oh, that would have been awesome.
It's so fun. What house are you?
I think I am Gryffindor. I did one of the tests and I was very pleased to see that I was Gryffindor.
Logan, what house are you?
I believe I was Gryffindor and you were Hufflepuff.
No, I am a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I could see Ravenclaw.
Whatever, Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are the same thing.
No, they are not.
You know how they're the same thing? They're not Gryffindor or Slytherin. That's how they're the same thing. They're not good or bad. Mean. They're just kind of there.
That was mean. Ravenclaw's a great house.
It's a smart house.
Do you know what ravens are? Ravens are evil.
Well, they're not.
In some books they are. In Tolkien, they are the eyes of Sauron. They fly. Did you not watch
the movie?
Well,
we're not in that universe. We're in Harry Potter.
In the Wheel of Time series, they are the eyes of the Dark One.
Oh, that's true. I've only read the first book of Wheel of Time.
I am on book 11.
Yeah, I will admit most of these books are science fiction or fantasy, and most of them are my husband's, not mine. So I read maybe like 5% of them.
The best way to experience the Wheel of Time is via audiobook.
I might have to try that because it took me a while to get through the first book.
I gotta catch up. What is your cable TV internet streaming situation? How do you view television?
There is no cable at all.
We
have an antenna, an HD antenna. Mm-hmm. So we can watch some live stuff on the main network channels. Mm-hmm. And then we just started Netflix again and we have Hulu and we have Amazon Prime.
Got it. I'm in the same boat, like antenna basically. I have an Apple TV, so yeah.
I have a Roku and an Apple TV.
Okay. Do you find you like one better than the other?
The Apple TV is nice because we have a lot of movies and stuff that we have ripped from DVDs that we had and things like that. But the Roku doesn't seem to crash as much, surprisingly.
Oh, good to know.
Software? Yeah.
I've gotten a newer Apple TV, and it doesn't crash as much. Like, it hasn't crashed at all. Like, it's been on for like 6 months and it hasn't crashed once. As opposed to the second generation Apple TV that I had, that was a 720p version. And it crashed all the time till I was like, meh, I'm gonna buy another one. The only thing you're good for is AirPlay at this point.
We have the little hockey puck ones, so I think that's the newest one.
Yeah. If you can believe it, though, yesterday, according to how the podcast is going to publish, we learned about iOS 9 and OS 10, 11. And
tell me all about it, Logan.
The new Apple TV that supposedly they're going to talk about.
Please recap it in detail.
Well, there've been a lot of interesting rumors, which everybody will go, well, that rumor was fake, or that rumor came true, or that rumor was way off. So no point in speculating at this point because the show's not going to air until after the keynote, which is Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
I foresee they'll say something about the Apple Watch.
Ooh.
They did say something. I want one so bad.
Jump on it, yo.
Jackie's got one too.
I know. I when I heard that Apple Watch podcast episode, I was like, now it's like one more reason. Because I thought, no, I'm going to wait until the second generation. So I'm hoping that yesterday, when they talked about the keynote,
this is a message from the future.
That they'll say something about when they're releasing the second version so that I can buy that one.
Well, I doubt that, but I do feel that they're going to announce something along the lines of an actual app SDK where people can actually write, you know, Apple Watch apps instead of apps that connect directly to the iPhone.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That will be nice.
Yeah. I'm a little petrified that they're going to come out with a browser, though.
No, I don't think they'll. I don't think they will.
I saw like a article. Apple's pretty stubborn about things.
And if they do, it won't be till like generation 4.
Yeah, it's like what will the William and Mary website look like on that? It's like we can barely fit the logo readable.
It's the whole concept of you have 42 or 38 millimeters to get your message across. So it's going to be all text based. That's it, or just emojis, just their emojis.
Translate your entire site into emoji.
Into apply? Creepy emoji.
the creepy
animated emoji.
Yeah, it'll be your mascot just dancing. That'll be the. If any college takes that, I want credit. That's listening. If you make your mobile or Apple Watch friendly website your mascot dancing, please alert me immediately because I will give you a hug.
William Mary already has an app for dressing our mascot.
No way.
So you mentioned John Stewart is an alum, and it was 5 years ago, it was right before I came to William & Mary, they did a new mascot search, because we used to just be the tribe, and we had feathers on our logo, and so the NCAA decided that was offensive, and that we should get rid of the feathers, so we ended up doing like a sort of social media based search and took lots of votes and polls and things like that and ended up with the griffin as the new mascot. And when they revealed the drawing for it, John Stewart actually mentioned it was like the biggest moment for us. He's like, he actually acknowledged that he's a William and Mary alum. But he's like, so my college finally decided to pick a new mascot and it's a pantsless eagle. And we're like, crap. No, he really does have clothes. And so we just riffed on it. And it was one of the first things I did when I came to William and Mary. I wrote a iOS app and Android app that is Dress the Griffin. So you can pick a whole bunch of different pants and shirts and outfits, and then you can save screenshots of it and make it your wallpaper or whatever. But
better than a pine tree, right, Stanford?
Can I download the app as I'm looking for it right now?
You can.
I am looking for it. We will post a link to it. Oh my God. So can I submit this to you guys? Like, can I dress the griffin however I want and then, like, send it to you via social media?
Sort of. You can save it. There's a save button on there. It'll save it to your photo album. And then you can then share it from your personal Facebook or whatever. But we didn't build in all of the social medias back in 2011 or 12 when we built it, just because it was my first app that I'd ever built, and it was really intimidating to try and integrate with all of the social media stuff.
Okay, so it's downloaded, so now I'm picking things. Okay, so the griffin is there, and I can pick a hat. Okay, I'm going to pick a hat. I'm going to pick the football helmet.
So some of the stuff will have a sound associated with it if you turn your sound on.
Hold on. Okay, so I can clear this. Okay, let me pick a good one. I'm going to pick, let's see. Oh, I'm going to pick the foam. There's a foam finger.
Number one.
I want to pick. Okay, so I can just pick random things.
And you can also do, if you swipe with two fingers, either left or right, it'll do entire coordinated outfits.
Handsome. Okay, that was kind
of
creepy.
And all of the outfits have sounds.
I don't know if anyone heard that, but it was a pirate. That was a rocker. This is a gladiator. How did you come up with these outfits?
It was one of our students, mostly, that she's now actually one of our designers on the creative services team, but she hand drew all of the stuff in Illustrator or whatever designers use to draw things in. I'm obviously not one of those people.
Whatever those magic computer things are. I'm currently looking at What is his name, the griffin?
He's just the griffin.
Oh, the griffin. I'm currently looking at the griffin in a towel and a shower cap going to the shower in his dorm room.
We try to encapsulate most of the college experience.
The college experience. Oh, some skiing.
Marvelous.
Oh, I found your, is this your president?
Yes, in the green shirt.
Marvelous, yes.
He is relatively locally famous for saying very long words in all of his speeches. So it's something is marvelous, or there are succulent bits of knowledge, or something like that. So we had to get one of those in as kind of an Easter egg.
This app is hilarious. Now the Griffin is wearing a polo with like plaid pants and is holding a like mug that I can't assume to be holding alcohol because it looks like he's on campus. But, you know.
It is a mug that has a logo of a local establishment on it.
Ah. Wow, it's so integrated with your culture. Oh, there's a football jersey and a basketball jersey. Oh my gosh. All right, everyone needs to go download this app right now. Don't forget to turn your sound on because that makes the experience 1,000 times better. Oh, little tennis shoes. This is, I'm going to just play with this for the rest of the podcast. Is that okay?
Hooray.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks, Tiffany, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You can get links to the app that Jackie is so incredibly obsessed with, along with other stuff that we've talked about on higher ed.social. If you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on our website or in iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. We'd love for you to send us a message. We'd love your feedback, and we'd love to have you on the show. Thanks, guys, for being on the show today, and have a great whatever time of day you're listening to this.
Likewise.